So my name is Nancy Tam, but the name of my book is Quiet Mind, Healthy Body, The Art of Low-Stress Living.
And I'm calling you where? Where do you live?
I live in Fresno, California.
Stress is such a huge problem, and it can not only wreak havoc on the enjoyability of your life, but it can ruin your health as well. Talk about stress and how bad it is for you.
Well, yes. As you know, heart disease, diabetes, stroke, all of those chronic illnesses, cancer even, have a stress factor in it, right? So when you go into the stress mode, physiological changes happen. And one of them, for example, is that your heart begins to pump faster. And the blood pressure rises, and because you have to get blood into your extremities. So if that goes on for a long time, if the stress is chronic, then you can see the relationship between that and high blood pressure, which leads towards heart disease. Also, more sugar is released into the bloodstream for energy in order to, the fight or flight response. So you can either flee or you can fight back. And that, of course, challenges the insulin situation, and that's the link between diabetes and stress, the type 2 diabetes.
Now, I've heard it said that being quiet is necessary to really getting stress under control, quieting the mind, I think. And I remember a number of years ago, I saw this book when I was on vacation, and it was called The Art of Doing Nothing.
Uh-huh.
And I'm always so busy, I think a lot of us are, in our culture today, we're always multitasking, and that can just make you crazy. But it's difficult if you're caught up in this lifestyle to quiet the mind. How do you go about doing that?
You don't actually have to set aside, chunks of time during the day. I tell people to take a 1 minute breathing break. Now, everybody can, you're breathing anyways, right? So the difference between quieting the mind and using the breath is that you pay attention to your breathing. Even if it's for half a minute, you can quiet down. And in fact, it's more desirable to quiet down throughout the day than it is to sit for 20 minutes or 30 minutes in quiet meditation and then get up and go chase about.
You give me hope. I can do a minute here and there.
Yeah, and I tell people to tie it into certain activities that you do routinely. People that answer the phone a lot, before you pick up the phone, take 2 breaths. When you set down the phone, take 2 breaths. If you get up from your desk, take a couple breaths. So that calms your nervous system down.
And so many of us have long commutes. And you can do that on a subway or in a train just as easily, or even when you're in the car,
absolutely.
Sort of relax.
Yes, and it's safe for driving too,
That's right. And what I've noticed lately in trying to calm my mind and body, I used to always have the radio on. I would always be doing something. I would never have any downtime.
Mm-hmm.
And now I find that it isn't really necessary to always be doing something. What a concept!
Yes, and that shows that you're developing and coming up with your own stress reduction skills. Because being, having silence is very, very nice for the nervous system, because we are so overstimulated in our society that there's never a quiet moment. The music's getting louder. People tend to go home and just kind of automatically switch on the radio or the TV, so that our nervous system is constantly, getting stimulated. And when our senses become overstimulated, we get number and number, If our senses are hearing, sight, act as our antennas. Insects have antennas and shows them which direction they should go in and what's good for them. So when our senses become dulled, we can't tell when we are at the finer points of feeling stressed or how we're feeling. We get numbed out.
That's a really good point. Now, also, working out the body, especially gentle movement, can also help. After you quiet your mind down, gentle movements of the body can help calm you down.
Yes, because anytime you to relax, you have to concentrate, and concentrate on the right thing. So gentle movements, especially if you synchronize that with breathing, really focuses the mind, and it connects the body and the mind, and you calm down very nicely. I know in my book there is a section on moving with breathing, and that's a very, very stress-reducing activity.
Now, yoga is no longer just for the edges of society or something strange. It really has gone mainstream. You can even get yoga clothes.
Yeah, I know.
How do you feel about that? You must be feel good that the mainstream culture is embracing something like this.
Yes, good and concerned. The mainstream culture is embracing this, but as we tend to do in the United States, a little of something is like, more is better.
Yes, I know what you
that's
mean.
That's not always helpful. And people are not understanding yoga. And there's a lot of stuff being called yoga now that's really fancy aerobics. Because if all you're doing is to, if you're in a room of 50 people, the instructor has on this, headset and loudspeaker, and then you're watching and you're just kind of following, you're really not paying attention to what's happening inside.
It's almost mindless sometimes, isn't it?
Yes. I don't call that yoga, because yoga means that there's a body and mind is united and in union. And so if you're not focusing on your sensations, on your breath, then you're really just only doing fancy aerobics.
Now, the other half of the title of your book is It's Quiet Mind, Healthy Body,
yes.
The Art of Low-Stress Living.
Mm-hmm.
What other things do you advise to reduce stress in our lives?
Well, physically, our physical body, we tend to not take care of it. We tend to not rest. We tend to not take lunch breaks anymore. We run errands. There's diet that's extremely important, and having certain movements of the spine. I talk about the six movements of the spine that keeps your spine healthy and youthful. And I use Ayurveda, which is a holistic health science, and they have very nice concepts that you can. If you follow the whole Ayurvedic concept, it becomes very complex. Lifestyle is very good for you, but it's very difficult. But you can draw from that and incorporate certain practices and concepts that doesn't add to the stress, of your life, but that is good for your health.
Why did you write the book? Was it in response to something that you were seeing, or you just had a lot of information that you needed to get out, or what was the epiphany that said to you, I have to get this down on paper?
I think that I was seeing, I own a yoga studio, and the students that come in are really, really stressed. I could just see the stress. And so I began developing wellness courses that uses yoga to reduce stress. And to, I'm also a psychotherapist, so I have some background in about cognitive therapy. And so I incorporated everything and were giving wellness seminars. And then I'm invited out to speak and do workshops, and I decided that, if I write a book, then even more people can be reached.
That's certainly true. Do you think, I think that sometimes our lives are so stressful because they are unnecessarily busy. And I'm wondering, I have for a long time wanted just personally to simplify my life in some ways, but it's hard to get started. How would you suggest we start to simplify our lives so that we can reduce stress and live better?
Well, the first thing I think we have to do is to consciously set that intention. And so that, it's is in our in our consciousness, you know, so that we're aware of our desire to do that. And then the second thing is to do it in very small chunks, because none of us, you know, really have the time to, you know, clear out our whole house, right? Clean out all the closets, clean out all the cupboards. Just the idea is stressful. But if you could, you know, get rid of some things in one closet, one weekend, maybe you want to look through your bookshelves, maybe you want to take a look at your calendar and see how you spend your time, and maybe you can let go of one or two things that really has you've outgrown perhaps, or, you know, that just has too little return for the time or energy investment. So do it in small chunks, but steadily over time. And I think that you might, at the end of a year, be surprised.
Maybe a little bit every day, like you said. It's not. It might not be necessary to watch another Law and Order rerun.
Right. Exactly.
You can get some stuff done that will really help you.
Yes, you're gonna feel better. You know, once you. I think that once you begin to take action, the reward, that feeling of satisfaction is what's gonna keep you going.
Any other tips that was a very good one, by the way, simple but profound. Any other tips that you would advise people to try to take to decrease stress?
Take some time. Once in a while, eat a meal sitting down in a pleasant surrounding and chew slowly, and don't incorporate reading or watching television so that you can really be by yourself, with yourself, enjoy your food, for example. Sit outside for a few moments, be in nature. It doesn't have to be for a whole weekend. You know, you can go out in nature and sit in your garden for just 5-10 minutes. Just take some time during the day for yourself. Take transition time between activities. When you go home from work, before you go rush into the house and get involved in all of that, sit in the car for a minute or two and just take a few deep breaths. See how you're feeling, where you are, what your needs might be.
Excellent. Any web information that you want to tell us about in addition to your book?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Any website information?
Yes. You can find me on the name of the book, aquietmindhealthybody.com, okay, figgardenpress.com. They both lead to the same website. Is that what you mean?
Yes, I did. That's
and,
great.
And www.figgardenyogastudio.com reaches our yoga studio, and there's a list of wellness programs on there.
You know, even I have to say that even going to a Fig Garden Yoga, your website, as
uh-huh.
I did earlier, that was even restful.
Oh, great. And you know, the book is interesting because I purposely did not use any technical jargon or any New Age buzzwords. I used everyday language so that the reading could be easy and people don't have to learn a whole vocabulary to understand. And the book is designed in such a way that the font, the margin, and the color of the paper is easy on the eyes.
So yes, it is.
It's designed to be low stress.
I like the green. It just relaxes you immediately,
yeah,
as soon as you see it.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else you want to add that I may not have asked you about?
Let me see. Maybe I want to add that since yoga is becoming so popular, and I'm seeing so much yoga, you know, so many yoga injuries, that people be careful about what they select for themselves. So there's so many different kinds of yoga that goes from very, very gymnastic down to a soothing and gentle. So stressed out people may not want to add another source of stress by a class that's extremely demanding on them. They need to find a teacher that is trained, because, you know, older people are now starting yoga. My oldest student that started yoga was 90 years old.
Wow. Excellent.
Isn't that something?
That's amazing.
But they're not in regular classes. They are in a special class. So people need to be more cognizant about what they're getting into. You know, physicians are recommending yoga, but they don't always know where to refer people to. So if somebody with high blood pressure goes into a highly aerobic class, that's not going to help them at all.
That's going to add to their stress, like you
Absolutely.
Said.
Absolutely, and it's going to make their heart, you know, it's going to add stress to their heart. So I think I would like to see people just be more cognizant that not all yoga are the same, not all yoga are equal, and they need to find qualified, trained instructors to do that.
Excellent. So thank you so much for being available to do the interview so early. You were... I learned a lot from listening to you today, and I'm going to go out and buy your book.
Oh, how wonderful. And you know, Pat, I have to tell you that it is such a joy being interviewed by you because, you know, you seem to know what you're talking about.
Wow. Fooled you. No. No, I'm very, I am very interested in I think that stress is it's wreaking havoc on our society.
Absolutely.
It's just, it's terrible. I just did an interview with... the head of the Alzheimer's Association. They're mm-hmm. meeting in this big convention in Chicago this week. And he was saying that stressing yourself out, they think, can be the root of Alzheimer's. I mean, you know, just too much stress, not taking care of your heart, and just being out of balance, not exercising, and all of these things. And that's a frightening thing. And they now think that many more people are getting this pre-dementia that leads to Alzheimer's than ever before. It's three times worse than they thought.
Oh, I believe it, because if you think about the fact that stress is the common denominator in all the leading causes of death,
yes,
then you can really say that stress is the number one killer in our society.
It certainly
is. And there is so much hidden stress now in our society.